Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brant. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Tuesday, July the 15th, 2014. Nice to have a morning rain for a change, wasn't it? Very nice so far, a very productive summer thunderstorm season. The rains will be leaving us for a few days later this week, but hopefully they'll be back next week. We're here live 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can find us with the podcasts on my website, so you can listen to the programs anytime, anywhere at buckmastershow.com. We'll begin with Republican candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. She is challenging the current school's chief, John Hoopenthal, in the upcoming August 26 GOP primary. 20 minutes or so past the hour, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley has a neutral smile on his face. That means kind of a neutral day on the market. 30 minutes past the hour, the monthly technology report presented by Cox Business. Then we'll close out the show with an update on the TMC Handmaker Foundation collaboration to build a new geriatric and psychiatric care center at TMC. Buckmaster Show Live Line is open for you at 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now on the live line Diane Douglas. Ms. Douglas, 7 years on the Peoria, Arizona Governing Board for the Peoria Unified School District, and she is a candidate, a Republican candidate, challenging the current school superintendent, John Hoopenthal. Diane, how are you?
I'm doing excellent, Bill. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into this race, and I understand at the core, if you will, of your candidacy is Common Core.
That's correct. Our current superintendent supports it. It is to education what Obamacare is to health care. Education is a state's rights issue. We're entitled to decide how to educate our children without intervention from the federal government. One-size-fits-all education just does not work for children, and that's what we're faced with Common Core.
What is it specifically, Diane Douglas, that really gets you upset about Common Core?
Where do I begin, Bill? First of all, we've been sold a bill of goods. It was put in behind the parents' back. No parents were ever brought to the table. A group of people who stand to make a lot of money off of selling new textbooks, new testing materials, professional development schemes. Nothing's changed about math or the English language in eons, but yet now all our teachers need to be trained. These people got together behind closed doors, determined for the whole nation that our education systems weren't good enough, and basically replaced it without any input from the parents, the teachers, any stakeholders whatsoever.
Don't you need some kind of standards, though, to guide your students in the classroom?
The standards movement has only been around for about 20 years. Before that, our education system was the envy of the world. It sounds cliche, but we put men on the moon. We knew what children needed to learn without having a standard that says this, 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 and this. You know that when children enter kindergarten, if they don't already know, they need to learn their letters and their numbers, and then they progressively grow from there. I was in school a long, long time ago. We didn't have standards, but yet we all seemed to know that children, and this was across the country, we all seemed to know that children needed to learn how to count and they needed to learn how to read, and addition came first and then subtraction and then multiplication and then division. There were many commonalities across education without having quote-unquote standards per se.
The current troubles surrounding the superintendent, John Hoopenthal, and his very highly publicized blogging that he did, offensive in so many regards, some of the things he said, has that helped your campaign? How has that changed the campaign for you, Diane?
Well, we went from very close in the polls to now leading in the most recent polls. His comment where he called people that opposed Common Core and his belief in Common Core. He called opposition parents barbarians. That got me Michelle Malkin's endorsement, so that was a huge boost to our campaign. Elected officials shouldn't be treating people like that, and I assure people that when I'm the superintendent of public instruction, they're not going to have to worry about embarrassment such as that.
You haven't.
Our Department of Ed should not be blacklisting teachers and keeping them from working on curriculum and testing or calling them names. That's beyond the pale, in my opinion.
You haven't been blogging anonymously.
I don't blog.
Okay.
I made that a long time ago. If I'm going to write something, I'm going to write it in a letter to the editor, and I'm going to put my name at the end of it.
How about your own background, Diane Douglas, in education?
Actually, I began studying American education probably almost 20 years ago. I didn't do it formally, but I've worked in it. I wanted, when my daughter entered school, some things raised my eyebrows, and I realized as a parent I could not be a passive observer of her education, that I needed to be an active participant, and I needed to understand what they were doing. I needed to understand what should a first grader be taught. Was her school teaching that, and was she successful at learning that, second grade, third grade? It spawned an interest in the history of our American education system. What did our founding fathers intend? How did our system evolve into the public system that it is? Some of the lawsuits and things that have gone on along the way, and how those have impacted and changed our system. Ultimately, when she got ready to graduate from high school, that's when I decided to run for the school board. I ran for the Peoria School Board. At that time, it was the third largest district in the state, and I served 8 years on that board and 2 years as that board's president, and just kept feeding the passion. The two most important things I believe we do as a society is protect ourselves, protect our nation, our citizens, our borders, and educate our children. The first one is the role of the federal government. The second one is not. And unfortunately, they seem to have those roles flip-flopped right now. So we need to take back control of our children's education.
We're speaking with Diane Douglas, who is running against John Hupenthal in the August 26th primary. The winner will most likely face David Garcia. If you emerge as the winner, what kind of race did you or do you envision against Dr. Garcia?
We've not really put that together yet. We'll take a look at that when we see if Dr. Garcia is, in fact, the candidate who comes through. But unfortunately, a lot of the problems that we have in education today come from the universities and come from the way we are training our teachers. And I believe that's part of the problem. And I don't, in my opinion, that's not who you put in charge. We need to make sure that people who clearly understand education and American education is the person in charge.
And we just did a segment yesterday with the Arizona Technology Council, Diane Douglas, and that we can't fill 40% of our jobs are going unfilled in the area of STEM. That is the acronym for science, technology, engineering, and math. If you are the new school superintendent, what will you do to help in that regard?
We have to have truly rigorous education in the mathematic area. You know, one of the things I heard so much when I was on the school board is that how can it, and this was a complaint I heard from high school teachers, how can I teach someone algebra or geometry when they can't add, subtract, multiply, and divide? If you see the horrific things that are coming out of our colleges of education in the way of arithmetic instruction, it is almost, I believe it's almost educational malpractice. Instead of teaching children very simple algorithms that have worked for eons, they have them doing tricks, gimmicks, and schemes. And when their parents try to show them the very simple ways to make these computations, those kids then go into school and they're told they're wrong. I have one example, a simple subtraction problem that pretty much anybody, even a young child, could do in their head. They've turned into a five-step addition problem. Things that become so cumbersome to calculate, it's almost beyond belief. These people, these children are not going to grow up with the STEM skills that we need when they can't even do basic computations because we refuse to teach them to our children.
All right, Diane Douglas, we're going to wrap it up with you. Where can people find out more information about the campaign?
They can go to DianeDouglas.com, and it's DianeDouglas.com. We have a Facebook page, Facebook Diane Douglas SPI, and we have a Twitter account, which is @_DianeDouglas. Very easy to find me.
Okay, Diane Douglas. Go ahead.
Elections debate tonight.
A clean elections debate. Where is that going to be?
That's going to be broadcast on PBS Horizon.
Oh, on Channel 8 up in Phoenix. Okay, yes. Diane Douglas, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. We always welcome Shelley to our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. And right on time, 20 minutes past the hour, this is where you can find Shelley Fishman each Tuesday afternoon.
And you are always on time,
Bill. I try to be. The trains run on time on the Buckmaster
there
Show.
There you go.
It has been the kind of week that, the old roller coaster was back in. We're kind of today sort of leveled off.
Today is flat. I mean, flat. It's almost a little bit ruler flat, but yesterday was up over 100 points. Friday, I think, was a bad day. I mean, we've bounced back over 17,000 on the Dow, and now we appear to be staying there for a while. Maybe that'll be the new floor for us for a while. As you and I were talking in the break, the pullback, the correction that we've been talking about, or I'll take responsibility, I've been talking about all year, hasn't happened yet, and we're getting into the middle of the summer. If it doesn't happen soon, it's not too likely. These market levels have survived, you know, potential wars in Crimea and Ukraine, upsets in the Middle East and
hiccups in the European latest
Portugal, absolutely. So the investment community appears to be convinced that these levels are sustainable by the performance that the underlying corporations have been posting, simply because those earnings have been good.
What is the deal it seems like when there is bad news, the market will go up and inverse the other way? I don't know. I mean, who's to say?
Well, because usually when there's news,
right,
economic news, what it's doing is it's looking at one or two quarters behind and reporting on that performance. The market doesn't look back. The market looks forward. So when you get a report that says GDP in the first quarter was a mess, it was actually negative, the market tends to say, yeah, we know about that. What are the corporations saying for GDP going forward? Now, very few economists will predict the kind of indicators going forward that the market likes to see. So what you do see is you see fund managers and investment managers doing those kinds of predictions. And so when there's a negative report on the economy, the market will look forward and say, is that likely to be reversed from here? Also, when there's a positive view, for instance, you get an employment result that's better than forecast, what the market will do is they'll dig down into that report to see if there's anything negative in there that could kind of, you know, reach out and snag that result. And so we see what seems to be counterintuitive results very often when we get positive economic results and then the market yawns and either pulls back a little bit or is flat. Now, when you see a blockbuster report like we did 2 weeks ago on employment, that simply, you know, is
30%,
that can't be ignored. Then the market goes nuts.
Yeah, but in many ways, the market lives kind of in the zen, in the moment, doesn't it?
It does. It by definition, lives in the moment, but it's a forward-looking moment. That's the way investors anticipate what the value of investments are. Remember, the value of any stock, and this is a little wonkish, but the value of any stock is the present value of your anticipated cash flows from that stock, including a future sale. So you take all those cash flows, dividends, if they're going to be some, and a future sale of that stock, discount it back at a rate you determine, 5%, 6%, 12%, whatever you think makes sense for you as an investor. And that's the price you're willing to pay for the stock. So that, and look, nobody does those calculations, but psychologically, that's what's going on. So that when you're looking at investments, you're always thinking about the question, what is this investment going to do I think, in the future? And what's gone on in the past is, you know, typically discounted somehow. That's why I say when the market does something crazy on one day or another day, my fundamental question is always, has something changed?
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing has really changed, if we've just hit some bumps in the road, then I blow it off. I ignore it.
And you get calls. I'm sure you do get calls from clients when the market is having a bump. And what do you tell them?
Well, if it depends on the bump. If it's just a one-day bump, we talk about short term and the fact that we're not in this, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
But they're saying, what's going on? What do I do?
Well, then we try to explain what happened. And there's lots of people out there explaining and explaining and explaining. And, you know, on any given day, you know, the market was up on good news from Venezuela or bad news from, you know, Uzbekistan or whatever. And so you do have plenty of pundits out there really spending a lot of time in some cases trying to pursue their particular political agenda by describing market performance with that bias. We had that, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it must have been yesterday, on CNBC. The guy who kind of gave birth to the Tea Party, Rick, Italian last name, that's escaping me at the moment, absolutely went completely off the wall. Because Janet Yellen was going to be testifying today and tomorrow and went on a rant about what the purpose of the Fed should be and wound up in conflict with the entire group of people that he was reporting with because of his particular political agenda, which is that the Fed should butt out and let the market take over, and that this market is artificially, and this whole economy is artificially propped up by what the Feds and the other central banks have been doing. Now, he may be right or wrong, but he uses that platform to explain what will be happening in the markets. And you know, the past couple of years, he's just been dead wrong. Now, that's not to say that theoretically he might be wrong, but, you know, the markets are somewhat distorted right now by actions from the central banks.
We're talking with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley would be more than willing to sit down with anyone and talk about their financial future. And you ask a couple of fundamental questions when you get together.
Oh, absolutely. And the most fundamental question you can ask is, what are your objectives? What do you want to accomplish in what time frames? And how much risk are you willing to take?
Most people willing to take much risk?
Most people these days are not. Most people, you know, tend to be moderate to less than moderate to more conservative in their investment discussions that you have with them. But then when you have a 30% year like we had last year in equities, you know, people begin to examine, well, should I have been more aggressive? So that's a really big, you know, internal struggle that people go through. I want to participate in what the market's doing on the one hand. That's the greed part, if you will. And on the other hand, but I'm scared to death. Mm-hmm. And that's the fear part. And those two things fight. You know, think of a devil and an angel on each shoulder, kind of whispering in your ears and struggling with each other. And that's the balance that you try to set with a client. And it's a moving target. I mean, what you and the client might agree with or agree upon in any given you know, set of meetings, a year later might change. And you have to be willing to live with those changes, to explore whether those changes are wise or whether they're, you know, just the vagaries of the moment.
And be a good listener, and that's what are, Shelley. I mean, that's part of your job. You have to listen real carefully to figure out what someone's objective is in this financial arena.
What I try to do, and I know this is kind of psychobabble, but I try to be empathic to the client, to put myself in the client's place, to try to experience what the client is experiencing so that I can then help that client come to a conclusion.
All right, Shelley Fishman, how do we get a hold of you?
BuckmasterShow.com or ShelleyFishman.com, or just call me, 940-0884.
Hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. For the first time in a week of rocket fire from Gaza, an Israeli has been killed. Police say the man was killed near the border with Gaza while delivering food to soldiers. Officials in Moscow vigorously dismissed terrorism as a possible cause of today's subway derailment. It killed at least 21 people. The accident sent 136 others to hospitals, many with serious injuries. Dozens of protesters on both sides of the immigration debate have gathered in a small Arizona town after the sheriff said the feds are planning to move about 40 illegal immigrants to an academy for troubled youth. Republican-controlled House wants to cut the budget of the IRS by $1.2 billion. That would be a 25% cut. On Wall Street, the Dow up 6 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air at the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival, the weekend of August 1st.
Whether you are a seasoned clay artist or want to get your hands dirty for the first time, you'll be right at home at the Silver City Clay Festival. Enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything from using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. Take home a work of art or a book or two from the clay market. The Clay Festival also offers tours of a handmade tile factory, a gala reception, live music, juried exhibitions, and more. The Silver City Clay Festival is a Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event the weekend of August 1st in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more information, go to clayfestival.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The following segment presented by Cox Business, serving Southern Arizona businesses through a world-class network, providing voice data and internet solutions. Get to know the business side of Cox at cox.com/business. Our monthly technology report presented by Cox Business focuses today on IT at Pima Community College. Joining me in studio, Keith McIntosh, Vice Chancellor for Information Technology at Pima Community College. Mac, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me today.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you on the program. When you look at the job and your whole portfolio, what you have really under your umbrella at Pima, it's a big task. I mean, there's a lot involved with nowadays everybody wants their IT and they want it now. And if there's a problem, you hear about it.
You're definitely right. You know, IT is technology is very pervasive throughout the college, whether it's in the classroom or in the office, people have high demands for technology. And with the advent of, you know, the prices for technology such as tablets and phones coming down, everybody's carrying two or three devices and they expect to have technology where they want it, when they want it.
So tell me a little bit about your role as the Chief Information Officer at Pima.
Well, I've been very fortunate to be the CIO at Pima since June of 2012, and my general overall responsibilities are to provide leadership and direction for the administration and coordination of management of technology at the college throughout the district. I have about 81 staff who work for me, and they're outstanding. They do a fine job of supporting the faculty, staff, and students, whether that would be from a user support standpoint, software development, information security, network, databases and storage, and then some. So we're responsible for everything from classroom to offices. There's probably about over 400 classrooms we have to support.
And so some of your priorities when you have this many people to really service, what do you put at the top of the list?
Well, combination of conversations with different constituent groups around the college, but one of the biggest focuses I have right now is trying to improve our service for educational technology. We provide a lot of services throughout the institution that support the college in a lot of administrative areas, and we do support in the faculty and the staff and the students in the classroom, but I would like to see us put an increased focus on innovation and partnership with the faculty to help them in their particular discipline, what they're teaching, to see how technology can enhance and improve those areas.
The kids are so tech savvy these days, Mac, and they're coming to Pima. They have been around tech all their lives, where my particular generation, it's been a different story. But even when you look back over the last 5 years, the changes that these kids now see when they come to Pima.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of changes that have been happening. You know, in the last 5 years, you know, what's really prevalent today is wireless and mobile. 5 or 6 years ago, we weren't really talking about that. But that is so prevalent now. You know, I talked to my network manager, Scott Ferguson, and we're going to be giving an update to a cabinet this afternoon. And we're talking about the expansion and the growth. People come on the campus that on average are carrying 2 or 3 devices. So that's something we didn't have before. And they want to have access to information in the way they want to have access to. There's also things that people expect to do, like being able to register for classes, be able to sign up for a course, be able to take a course online via their devices. These are things we didn't have 5, 6 years ago.
We're speaking with Keith McIntosh. Keith is the Vice Chancellor for Information Technology at Pima Community Colleges. What are some of the things that you're most proud of that you've put together there at Pima?
Well, there's several things. Not just me, it would be my team. My team and I have been able to, we transitioned from a Blackboard learning management system, which we hosted internally, which is used for our online courses, to Desire to Learn, which is something that's now hosted, is what you probably heard terminology, in the cloud. I feel really proud about that. Most recently, we just implemented a digital signage project across the college where we can display information digitally and keep it updated. We were partnered with our facility staff. Two individuals there, Mike Smith from facilities and Jeff White from IT, did a really good job making that happen. We were able to implement streaming video recently, so we now broadcast our Board of Governors meeting via streaming video. We also implemented emergency communications, which is our PCC alert. We actually had to use that here recently because of the power outages that happened around our East Campus.
Yeah.
We could use that system to notify people who subscribed to let them know not to come to the campus, or in a case of any other emergency, how to direct traffic there. So those are just some of the things we've done.
And Cox Business has been a good partner, huh?
Oh, you betcha. I'm really, you know, the relationship we have with Cox, with Pam Krim, especially, and Lisa Lavallo, those are two people that I interface quite a bit. And we're working on, we're in the middle of a process now to determine something that's a future endeavor for both of us. And I hope we can get to fruition here before the end of the year.
I know you probably keep in touch with the other community college, your equivalents at other community colleges around the country. Are we here at Pima keeping pace?
Yeah.
With what's going on?
Great question. Keeping pace is difficult. But I'd have to say that just the colleagues I talked to, I'll start with the Arizona Community Colleges. We meet regularly. I have conversations with them on a monthly basis, so we kind of reconcile where we are and we share our best practices. Matter of fact, so much so that we just did a recent collaboration last week where we did a statewide IT symposium where our staffs got together to share information, kind of like a mini conference. Across the nation, I reach out to similar sized community colleges because sometimes the complexity of what we do, I need somebody of a comparable state. And there are places where we're leading, and there are some places we're in the middle, and there are some places where we're behind. But I think overall, I think we're doing good. But keeping up with the technology changes is hard.
And, you know, the whole changing face of higher education and how technology is going to impact it, I think that is kind of a bottom line question, Keith, that we should address, whether or not technology is going to, and I'm sure it will, transform the world of education. But I think the question is, how will it do it?
That's the golden question. You know, and I don't know if I have the exact answer on it, but I believe, like you, that technology has the power to enable and affect education in a very positive way. There are things out there that are kind of burgeoning right now. They're at the very forefront, such as terminology like gamification, using games, which is something the generation has now that they would be able to successfully understand whatever they're being taught. Using augmented learning, you know, adapted learning to help do personalized instruction for folks. And we have some instances of that at Pima already. Or what's coming out now is called the Internet of Things, a wearable technology. Like today I'm wearing my Samsung Gear, which is connected to my Samsung Galaxy X5. I am a bit of a techie, but these are things that I think have a practical use somewhere in the future. And my goal is to work with my team to partner with the faculty and staff, not so much that we have the exact answer where it's going to go, because I think it's going to be personalized by the institution, but allow them to say, you know, we meet them. Here's the possibilities. What would you like to do?
What turned you on as a kid getting into technology? I know you spent almost a quarter of a century in the Air Force, and we thank you for your service Keith. And
thank you very much.
You joined up at Pima a few years ago. What got you interested in technology?
It's an interesting story how I got into technology. Now, the brief side is I think technology chose me. When I came out of high school, I'd been bouncing around different colleges, and my father and I had a conversation about you need
what
to do something. Yes. And
what
so
are you going to do?
I think the Air Force was a decision that we solidified on. And then Uncle Sam said they're going to put me in a career field. And it was a great thing. It was very serendipitous, but I was put into communications and information technology, and I found out that I excelled at that, and I've been loving it ever since.
Boy, I'll tell you, the changes you must have seen in the 25 years with information technology, something that just is always just exploding around us and growing, just it's hard to even believe how fast it's growing.
Yeah, I try not to talk about what was happening those years ago, but you know, that lets you know, and the rate of change is in the cycle is decreasing, so I know what's right around the corner is going to happen at a faster pace.
Well, I remember the days when I was working with film in the TV industry many years ago, so I've seen a lot of transitions as well. Keith McIntosh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure having you on our program.
I really appreciate you having me on it today.
Thank you very much. Get to know the business side of Cox at cox.com/business. We thank Cox for their monthly technology report here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
No, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, hike along the Continental Divide Trail, go birding along the Gila River, or visit historic Pinos Altos. And upcoming, the big Clay Festival, the last weekend of July. That is going to be a lot of fun over in Silver City. You can find out at southwestnewmexico.org. That will have all the things to do and great places to stay. It's a wonderful outing if you've not been over there, and there are a lot of great places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins and Little Toad Creek Inn. Tucson Medical Center and Handmaker Foundation are teaming up for a new long-term facility specializing in geriatric and psychiatric care. Handmaker will have a long-term facility on the first floor, and TMC will have the psychiatric care piece on the second floor, focusing on providing short-term stabilization for older adults who are experiencing significant emotional and psychological distress. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Terry Waldman. Terry is the director of TMC's new Geriatric Center, which comes online in January. Terry, it's good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why is something like this needed in the community, Terry?
So we know that our population is aging, and we know that Tucson is home to about 200,000 people over 60. And, you know, many of us experience both psychiatric, emotional, and physical problems. And it's hard to find the right kind of care when you're in crisis for those things.
Yeah, so it's adults that have the physical issues, which could be a variety of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it would be, it's a psychiatric unit, so we'll be treating people for behavioral health issues, but the geropsych unit can help people have issues of aging. So people who are in wheelchairs, people who need oxygen, people who may have medical conditions that, while they may be stable, the psychiatric issues are wreaking havoc on them and making everything feel very uncomfortable.
Where does dementia come in this?
So this community, Tucson alone, has about 14,000 diagnosed people with Alzheimer's disease and many more who are out there undiagnosed. And, you know, our niche will really be working with those folks with cognitive impairments. We will do diagnosis, intervention, and treatment. Many folks who have a cognitive impairment also have a psychiatric problem on top of that, like depression, anxiety, bipolar or mania, a lot of those things happen. And those with treatment for those diagnoses, people's quality of life can greatly improve.
Loss of a loved one can be a huge issue for the older people.
Absolutely. We know that the loss of the loved one is one of those things that in this community, people say is a major issue, can lead to depression and suicide. And we also know that older men have the highest number of suicide in this country and in this community. So intervention is really important for depressive symptoms.
How are you setting up the unit?
So we will be a multidisciplinary team, which will consist of myself, the director, and then a psychiatrist who will be the medical director. We will have physicians who will see our patients every day. We have full nursing team with RNs and patient care techs, and then social workers, recreation and occupational therapists, and a neuropsychologist who can do testing and diagnosis through that testing.
Tell me a little bit about your background. We first met when I had involvement with the Alzheimer's Association here in Southern Arizona quite a few years ago. But you've been involved in the field of geriatric medicine for a long time.
I have. I actually worked on the Generations Unit over at El Dorado Hospital. I was a social worker there and then became the director there for many, many years. And have for the past 7 years worked in the community and memory care facilities. And so my experience really lies with working with older adults, both older adults with behavioral health issues and with cognitive impairments.
Are you finding there are thousands of people perhaps in this community who are going undiagnosed, Terry Waldman?
Absolutely. Yes, there's many folks who don't seek treatment. You know, unfortunately, there's still a stigma out there with older adults, especially the old, who still have that belief that they can get over it. And, you know, one of the wonderful things about working with older adults, one of the things I really love the best is that, you know, older adults want to have quality in their life. They want to enjoy their golden years. And with a little bit of treatment, they can enjoy their golden years. But I think, you know, that philosophy, I'm just going to pull myself up from my bootstraps and I can get better from this because I've developed some coping strategies, because the longer you live, the more you learn to cope. Whether it's healthy or not is another question. But certainly, you know, there are many people out there who go undiagnosed, and that really impairs their ability to have quality in their days.
The Pima Council on Aging put out really an excellent comprehensive report, a 2013, kind of, I look at it as almost a white paper report on this community and really where we're at with older people. What were some of your thoughts on that report? I know you're familiar with it.
Well, you know, many of the families say that, and many folks that were interviewed in that report, and it was older adults and community professionals that were part of that report. But they say that that behavioral health, the loss of a loved one, and depression are two of the top nine serious problems that they talk about. And, you know, Pima County has established behavioral health as a public health priority. And we know that because this community is aging, that the priority not only lies with other folks experiencing behavioral health issues, but certainly the older adult.
Is this a good place to be an older adult?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of plans and a lot of things in place to have Tucson be a livable community for all ages, and having more units like this. And TMC is really beefing up their complete geriatric service line. We also are offering a clinic for folks who are being discharged from the hospital and don't have a follow-up with their doctor, or global geriatric assessment. So there's a lot of great things happening, and I see the future as being very bright.
We're speaking with Terry Waldman. Terry's the director of TMC's Gerio Psychiatric Center. It's really going to be a very interesting program coming online in January. You've overseen this whole project, and actually you were there kind of for the groundbreaking and now the finishing touches on construction.
Yes, and the construction should actually be done at the end of this month, and then we'll be putting our team together and doing training and getting ready to open to the community.
Well, Terry, if people have more information about a loved one that might be interested in this program, how do we get a hold of you?
You can just call me at 324-3929.
Okay, or is there a website yet, or
You know,
that?
The TMCAZ website will have information as we continue to get ready to open up our unit.
All right, Terry, thank you. It's good to see you again, and good luck with the new program.
Thank you, Bill.
Terry Waldman with us on the Buckmaster Show. We thank her. Bottled water, speaking of thanks, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. We thank Culligan, provided by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your business and residential water needs. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. We've got a couple of bottles right in front of us here in the studio right now. Thanks, Culligan, for your support. Coming up tomorrow morning on AM 1030 KVOI, it's another one of our local talk shows, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 8, then The Daily Double with Christy Simone, Chris, and a different newsmaker every day from 8 to 9. For Tucson at 4 is a new talk show we have locally with Mike Shaw, so give that a listen. Then tomorrow, 12:04, our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, the ace producer, Rosemary Brandt, and me, Bill Buckmaster, will be back with you at 12:04, and we'll get things rolling. Until then, have a nice afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.